Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to listeners. You are tuned to your favorite learning station, Radio Islam. And this is a question and the answer program with Mufti Riyad Saab, who is on the other side of the line. And remember, this is your phone-in program, inshallah. Any questions on your mind, now's the chance to call us. And the number to call is 011-854-1548. And the cell phone number to send the SMS questions is 082-580-8070. It's 082-580-8070. And you know, asking questions is the only way to find out about the truth about anything that is on your mind. Alright, we'd like to welcome Mufti Saab on the program. Mufti Riyad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alright, Mustafa, JazakumAllah for the time and for the program, inshallah. We look forward to spending the next 45 minutes in the Mufti Saab's company. We remind our listeners again, this is your phone-in program. Any questions you have, number to call is 011-854-1548. If you're calling from outside South Africa, the dialing code is +27 11 854 1548. See our phone number to send the SMS questions one more time is 082-580-8070. Alright, we have our first call on the line, Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Mufti Saab, I just wanted to know that when a woman is in ihram, can she wear the normal niqab that touches the face? You know, the normal niqab we wear normally touches the face, the nose and the chin and the cheeks and everything. Or like, because someone said that it can be done for a few hours. Or what is an actual masla to this? And secondly, from when should the ihram be worn? And a 7-year-old boy, should wear the ihram or can he just wear the normal kurta? And thirdly, Nabalik girls, should she wear the niqab when going to the Roza Mubarak? Jazakallah, Mufti, I'll listen on the radio.
Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ji,
Mufti Saab, four questions.
You wrote it down.
Ji, Mufti Saab.
Okay, let's go one by one.
Ji. The first
covering of the face for the ladies.
Ji.
That remember the law is they are allowed, it is permissible for the female to expose her face during the condition or halat of ihram. Now that proves also that that is the exception of the rule, and the rule supposed to be covering of the face all the time. Secondly, that if she wants to cover the face, that generally the woman from Indo-Pak subcontinent, and I've seen the Yemeni and other countries also utilize a contraption which sits on the forehead, which does not allow the cloth to touch the face. They can utilize that. Also, they can utilize the golfer's cap so that they pass the cloth over the golfer's cap. Then by that, the cloth does not touch the face. However, many ulama are of the opinion, because this is the age of fitna and fasad, allowing the ladies to just cover their faces and subsequently give some charity. Remember, the dam becomes compulsory when the face is covered for 24 hours. Then the dam becomes necessary. Now, if we understand the movement of Hajj and the proceedings of Hajj, then we know that, inshallah, she will not cover her face for 24 hours or more. That's what we should try to do.
Yeah.
That, for example, let's say if one gold costs 240 riyals,
yeah,
then she covers her face for 3 hours, that she should give out 30 riyals in charity.
All right. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. The second question she had was, from when should one put on the ihram?
The ihram is adorned as soon as one crosses the miqat. That means when you are coming from Madinatul Munawwara, obviously you would put on your ihram either before you reach Zul Hulaifa, or it is called Masjid Shajara, or it is called Bir Ali. Some ulama of the opinion that you can adorn your ihram at the airport of Jeddah also.
All right, Jazakallah. So the third question she had was with regards to a 7-year-old boy. Should he put on the ihram, or what happens if he just puts on a kurta? Will this suffice?
The 7-year-old boy obviously is not baligh, not mature, not mukallaf, responsible, liable, and we advise they should try to put on the ihram for him, and he will, inshallah, enjoy to be in ihram, and this will be a unique experience for him. And you should put the ihram on, make him read the intention, the talbiyah, encourage him to behave like a muharrim, meaning that one in ihram. However, if he adorns a kurta, then there is nothing wrong. Also, whilst that 7-year-old boy is in ihram, so-called ihram, if he does anything wrong, no dam becomes compulsory, because he is not mukallaf, not responsible, not accountable as yet.
Alright, Mr. Sam, that answered the three questions. And the final question posed by the sister was, a nabaligh girl, when she goes to the Rawdah Mubarak of Nabiyyu Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, should the niqab and hijab be worn?
It is extremely useful that she should do so also, especially if she is in a state just before bulughiyat, and when her shape of her body and contours of her body are now becoming visible, then definitely she should adorn the hijab. If she is so small that her shape of her body and contours of her body are not visible, then she may go there without hijab.
Alright, Jazakallah for that. So we go on further, inshallah. Dear listeners, this is a Q&A program with Mufti Ilyas Saab Hamidullah, who is on the other side of the line. The numbers to call are 011-854-158. The cell phone number to send the SMS questions is 082-580-8017. Alright, so we go on further. The question coming through SMS saying that my parents had a big fight yesterday. They're not speaking now. It's very, very tense here. Father always says bad things to her and about her to other people. And he's mentally abusing her, at times a little physical as well. I need help. Please advise.
First of all, we make dua that no talaq has been issued.
Gee.
The person who has registered this call should immediately contact the Jamiat helpline, care line, crisis center, and take the matter there, and also refer it to the local alim closest to you, and constantly make dua that they reconcile.
Ameen, inshallah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make it easy for them and for her, and Allah grant muhabbat between the spouses. This other question states, what is the Islamic belief concerning the existence of dinosaurs?
Scientifically, they are saying that a creature such as dinosaur existed, and they say they have got enough proof of that. Now, historically, Islamically, that we have got that in those days that their people, their sizes was not like us. They were extremely, extremely huge in size. So, like for example, it is stated that the people of Jannah will be the size of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, 33 arms length. Now when you look at 33 arms length, then that measures quite a bit, and that is quite high off the ground, and that is quite tall. Now if you look at 33 arms length, then those dinosaurs, etc., may have been the cats of our age. So it is nothing wrong if a person says that, okay, they were dinosaurs, because the people in those days, according to Islamic history, were so huge and tall that it is reported that metal rock melted in their hands, and they were able to fashion huge, huge palaces in their mountains, and according to some, that they were able to walk the oceans and get huge fishes and bright in the sun. Gee.
All right, JazakAllah for that. Musa, we're going further. The other question with regards to talaq, it's talaq bil kitaban. The question states that the husband lives in Durban and he issued a talaq from Durban. Basically, he wrote a letter to the wife who is living here in the Indonesia area, Mutisab. And on the telephone, he told her that don't go to the post office to pick up the letter because the talaqs are in there. Now, she wants to know, does the talaq fall?
Oh, yes. The talaq falls. Now the person has made matters worse by stating that don't go to the post office because the talaq are there. So he is admitting that he has written the talaq. She should go fearing Allah Jalla Majdahu and go and pick up the letter, and we make dua that that fellow has only issued one talaq instead of three. And to those who are unfortunately non-reconcilable, that they should remember that one talaq does the same work and has the same result as three. She should go to the post office, pick up the letter, and the date of the letter is when she received her talaq, and that is from when she will start and commence her
in that
period.
All right. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
If a person is traveling to a country and he stops over in Jeddah and he keeps transit visa to perform Umrah, is it permissible for him then to put on the ihram at the airport?
It is permissible.
JazakAllah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alright, we're going further, inshallah. Numbers to call, we remind you, is 0118 54 1548. Cell phone number to send questions is 0825 80 80 17. Alright, the question states, I bought goods from a Muslim shop of the Islam. I returned it the very next day. Of course, I didn't need. The shop took 17% handling fees. Is this permissible in Islam?
That you sign the document that they are going to take handling fees on return of the goods, then it will be permissible as part of the transaction. But definitely in your case, I think there was no document signed. Therefore, taking of the 17% is not permissible. It is illegal, shari illegal, to take that 17%.
All right, for that answer, we go on further, inshallah. The question states, assalamu alaikum, what is the Islamic law with regards to pursuing a career in the stock market or JSE as a stock broker, etc.?
It is permissible.
It is permissible, JazakAllah. Alright, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum. My husband converted to Islam before we got married, alhamdulillah, but he still uses his non-Muslim name, example, passport, work, etc. Is this allowed in Islam or should he change all his details?
First of all, that on conversion, he and all those who convert people and all those who are converted, whether you were to call them convert and revert and all those other names, but as soon as you accept Islam and you were not a Muslim before, then you should sign a declaration form. And if you do not have such a declaration form, then email us mufti@alislam.co.za. I will send you a form where it is stated you have accepted Islam on a particular date. This is your old name. This is your ID number. And who did the conversion, when it was done, and one, two witnesses. And also that you are saying that you are a Muslim, and upon your death, you will be buried according to the Islamic Sharia law. Many a time we find that, alhamdulillah, males and females accept Islam, but at the time of death, because they did not sign this declaration form, there is great fighting, dispute, discord, disunity. As a result, unfortunately, sometimes a revert, convert Muslim is buried not in a Islamic, not in a Muslim graveyard. He should make an effort to try as far as possible to change his name and adopt a Muslim name, a good name, because the Sharia, the light of the Sharia, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that give yourselves and your children good names, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, all those names which have got the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sharia is directing that we should have good names. So discard the names of the times of ignorance and the times of darkness and the times of misguidance and adopt good, nice, proper Islamic names.
All right, Musam, Jazakallah for that. All right, you go on further, Mufti Saab. The question states, if a man gives 3 talaqs in the state of drunkenness and does not know what he's saying, that is a talaq valid? You know, it's quite shocking, Mufti Saab. Very, very shocking and very sad indeed.
Oh, these issues and such issues like these, there is a book on our website, alislam.co.za. This book is called A Complete System of Divorce. It's a translated work, and the original work is by Shaykhul Hadith Mufti Sayyid Abdul Jalil, and he is the Ustad of Hadith in Camperdown. So he has written clearly there, the texts are written there, quoted there, that this sort of divorce issued in the state of intoxication is valid.
It is valid. All right, JazakAllah for that. We go on to the question states, Assalamu alaikum, when traveling in a lift club and one passenger does not come for a day, are you allowed to charge them for the day as you were there to pick them up? Mufti Saab.
If the lift club is working on, for example, a weekly, monthly, or quarterly, yearly basis, then you are allowed to charge them.
Okay.
Because it is their fault, negligence on their part, for not coming. That's one. But if it is payable on the physical transport, for example, like taking a bus, if you board the bus, the public transport, you pay. If you do not board that bus, you do not pay. So if that lift club is working on that basis, you board, you pay. You do not board, you do not pay. In that case, you are not allowed to charge.
All right. JazakAllah Mufti Saab for the answers. We can further, inshallah. We have 2 callers on the line. We take our first caller. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jibin.
I would like to ask the Mufti a question.
Yes, go ahead.
My husband left myself and my children in November at my parents' place. And since then, we had no contact, and I was living in Springs before with him. He took us out and he brought me home and he put his family, which are not even Muslim, there. He's the only Muslim from his family. So I just wanted to ask that what is the Sharia ruling? Because it's already 3 months and we have no contact at all.
Oh, you want to know basically if you are still in the car with him?
Yes.
All right, JazakAllah. Any other questions, sister?
No, JazakAllah.
Make a lot of dua, Allah, make it easy for you.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, Ameen, sister. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jee, Mufti Saab.
Take the other caller.
All right, let's take the other caller, Luqman. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam and assalamu alaikum to Mufti Saab.
Jee, brother, how are you?
JazakAllah for the wonderful program. My question is, a student will be graduating, inshallah, this year, and a degree will be conferred on him. What I'd like Mufti Saab to elaborate further is, will it be permissible for the student to attend the graduation ceremony where he will be wearing a robe and bowing down to the dean of the faculty and things like that? That's the first question. And the second question is, the family wants to, out of happiness, they want to give the incumbent a party at home. It's just family people. Will that be permissible in Islam?
All right. Any other question, brother?
That is all. JazakAllah. Listen on the air.
Brother, invite myself and Mufti Saab for a dry.
Inshallah.
JazakAllah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Shrimati Sam.
First question, can you just repeat it? I could not hear the sister properly.
Shrimati Sam, the question was, sister says her husband left her by her parents' house with the children in the month of November. So just to sum it up, she wants to know, there's been no contact with the husband for the last 3 months. Are they still in nikah?
However, what has happened is very sad. If he has not issued any talaq up to now, and he has not issued any divorce up to now, she still remains his lawful Islamic wife, no matter the 3 months separation. However, this person is not behaving Islamically. And if he wants to release her, then in good faith and in goodness, he should do so peacefully, amicably, or reconcile properly. And by sending his wife away, if he is not financially, monetarily supporting her, that's a sin upon his part, if he is not doing that. So our advice is, humble advice, please reconcile. Mm. Otherwise, as long as your wife is away from you, maintain her monetarily, and also make up your mind whether you want to make this house, you want to reconcile, or you want to divorce.
Mm.
The other question, the person says that he wants to know whether the son or relative, whatever, wants to go for this graduation.
Mm.
And then also wear this robe and then bow down to the dean, etc. We state clearly, you should not be doing that.
All right.
You should not go there. You should take your certificate, your qualification, and your degree in absentia, and it is awarded in absentia. It is legal not to go. It is not an offense not to go. And to go to such a function which is kufar-based, awarding you, although you deserve your degree. That is why we are saying that at home, if you want to have a function to honor your son, then that will be permissible, provided you have an Islamic function, meaning that separation of genders, no photography, no music, and out of humility, not showing, boasting, and be proudful, so that others will have to start emulating you, but you may invite a few relatives and close friends so that you can share this is a happy occasion for your family.
All right. So, Mr. Jazakallah, for that response, going further, inshallah, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji,
I would like to pose a question to Mufti Sahab.
Go ahead.
Mufti Sahab, Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
I've got one question, Mufti. I would like to find out on this collection for masjids and that. Right. Can we have a stall in a faith or something and do collections? The first question is that. Second question on it. To sponsor a brick and stand a chance to win a prize, is it permissible in Islam?
Explain the second one, Mulana. Get an explanation for the second part.
Rather, to explain the second question again.
You see, they say to sponsor a brick for the mosque.
Mm, for the mosque.
And stand a chance to win a prize that the musalla, according to them.
Is it? All right.
It's also gambling, according to me.
Okay. And any other question, brother?
That's all.
That's all. You listen on the air.
Okay.
Jazakallah, right, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jim of the Sam's collections. Let's take the other caller first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Hello, assalamu alaikum salam.
Ajib, brother, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Just got two questions to ask, Karam Mufti. I just wanted to know, what's the difference between finance charges, higher purchase, and interest? Between higher purchase and finance charges, is anything permissible?
Finance.
Secondly, I want to know, I'm interested in buying a property.
Mm.
I want to know which way besides taking from the commercial banks is permissible. I know the banks charge interest.
Mm.
I have Islamic finance for a vehicle, but we don't get Islamic finance on the house below 500,000.
Right, right.
Which other way can I buy a property without paying interest?
Okay.
The first question,
Mullah,
the first question, can he tell us what are those things? Finance charges, charges and all those things.
Jee. Brother, you got the question from Mufti sir? Can you explain?
You.
Can you explain what is finance charges and HP? The finance charges you're talking about, can you explain to us what is the finance charges?
When you get a statement coming to you, it says finance charges. It doesn't say interest or anything, but it says finance charges at the bottom, and there's an amount that's below the amount that you have used.
Okay.
And as higher purchase is when you go to a furniture shop, it says purchase agreement.
All right,
sale
got that, all right. All right, Jazakallah. Do you have any other question you have for the brother?
No, it's okay.
All right, Jazakallah, brother.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right, do we have another caller, Sukman? All right, no caller. So let's take the second question first, where the brother asked about the finance charges, HP and interest.
Okay. The second question, as far as this, any transaction where you are going to be paying more than the stipulated amount by the way of usury or interest, then that is haram. You have to pay, either they tell you, listen, you pay cash, it's 100 rand, but you pay in installments, it's 120 rand. That is permissible. But if they all of a sudden tell you that, listen here, that you will have to pay some finance charges or hidden cost or those things, usury or interest, that is haram. If you were to buy a land or a vehicle and you want to utilize a commercial bank even, then if they have got few clauses in place, it will run permissible. Number one, that the amount owed has to be specified. Number two, that the installment premium has to be specified. Number three, that the time of payment, the duration of payment has to be specified. Number four is optional, that you have what we call an option of settlement. And if suddenly you inherited some money, or someone gave you a hadiah gift, or someone gave you a very big loan, then you can go up to that institute, that commercial institute, and tell them, listen, I owe you 100,000, but I've got 80,000 here in cash. Can we not negotiate a settlement? Sometimes they do it. So write that in your clause. Gee.
All right, Jazakallah, we go on further. We come to the second, the first column itself. He wanted to know about collection for masjids.
collection for masjid, if you have, making it in a fair or a feet, that is permissible. And also, if you are going to sponsor a brick voluntarily, not out of duress and force, and then they throw your ticket, you got an option whether to throw your ticket into the bucket or the drum, which they will at random pick out someone and give a price, that is permissible.
All right, Jazakallah. We're going further to listeners. Number to call 011-854-1540. We have limited time, just about 18 minutes left. But we're not taking all right, the lines, the SMS lines are also open, inshallah. The question, Mufti Sam states, the facts came in last week, the letter came in last week, but due to, we didn't have much time, so we never aired this question last week. And the brother came back to the radio a few 5 minutes ago, and he handed this paper once more time. It says, Mufti Sam, what is the minimum salary a person should earn? I've worked for a company in Lanesh for the past 12 years, I earned 2,700 rands. We are a family of seven. Every time we ask for an increase, they say business is bad, but the boss goes for Hajj and Umrah every year. Mufti, it's people like this who make these, people like us who make these bosses rich, and he wants to know what can be done. Some advice on this, Mufti, sir? The angry employee.
This is absolutely atrocious and disgusting. And unfortunately, this is not only this brother's difficulty and problem. Now, if you phone the employment line, they will tell you what they call a cost of living bread line. And alhamdulillah, what we have come to know that many Darul Ulooms have started to implement this.
Gee.
Why I say that, that Alhamdulillah, Darul Ulum have taken the lead, that they have got a structure.
Mm.
If a person is not married, then he will get a certain amount of salary. As soon as he gets married, his salary goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And when he, Alhamdulillah, gets a child, salary goes up. So the the wages supposed to be based upon qualification, time, labor, and also what Islam worries about is that how many persons the breadwinner is supporting. Islamic economical system worries about this factor, which the kuffar economical system does not worry about, which is how many children you got. As soon as there is a new arrival, the salary must go up. And rather sad that people give donations upon donations, but do not pay their staff well. People go for Hajj upon Hajj, Umrah upon Umrah, but do not pay their employees well. Whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, they should be paid well, adequately, so that they can survive. A humble plea is that with the salary that you will pay, can you survive? If you can survive, Alhamdulillah, then you can pay that salary.
JazakAllah for the wonderful advice, Mutisa. So the way to go is make more children. Alright, JazakAllah, we're going further, inshallah. Numbers to call 011-854-1548. Cell phone number to send the SMS questions is 082-580-8070. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Ji, how are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
It's just in reference to the question posed earlier regarding finance charges, etc.
Ji?
Right. What I think what the brother meant to ask, you see, if when you're buying on credit, let's assume I buy on my credit card, immediately there is a finance charge, right, reflected on my statement.
Yeah.
When I pay installments, then obviously then the interest is reflected. So I'd like to know if this finance charge, right, is permissible. I mean, is it a jais transaction? Can I listen on air?
All right, just hold the line, brother. Just don't put down, brother. Hold the line. What is that? You got a question.
No, what he says about financial charges?
He says normally when you buy on credit, at the bottom of the slip, it's certain finance charges.
See, hello.
No, he's talking about a card transaction.
See, hello.
Hello, see, brother.
See, when you buy on a credit card, right? Obviously, you don't pay cash.
So, credit card, yes.
It's financed, right?
Yeah.
So immediately, there's a finance charge added on. If I buy for 10 rand, right? Because they're financing this 10 rand.
A finance charge on the credit card.
Yeah, on the transaction, right, there is a finance charge.
All right.
For financing this
transaction,
there is a charge.
Okay,
right, and then obviously, if you're going to pay over installments, if you're going to pay it over installments, there might or might not be interest. Now, this finance charge that they add on upon the transaction, is this jais?
All right, JazakAllah. Multisabal Rishwan, brother. JazakAllah.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullah. Have you got the question?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, Ji.
Now, for a Muslim, understand this, for a Muslim to utilize the facilities of a finance charge which accumulates or adds upon interest will not be permissible. However, for the seller to sell the item and the person has purchased via utilizing that system of payment, the transaction will be valid.
All right, JazakAllah. Dear listeners, we have very, very limited time, just about 12 minutes left before we terminate the program. A number of questions have already come through, and you still have a chance to call us. We just take in on the live calls. The numbers to call, 011-854-1548. All right, the question says, can you tell me the ruling of keeping budgies as pets as well as other birds? JazakAllah.
Any bird that can be accustomed to caging, then there it will be permissible to cage that particular bird. But if you are going to put a bird which is not accustomed to be caged and you forcefully cage that bird, then that will be zulm, that will be oppression. But you should inquire from those who are experts about birds that can this bird be caged? Is it suitable? Can it adapt? Can it adapt to the new environment and facilities and amenities? Can it be comfortable? Are we not harming or injuring this bird? When they say you are not harming and injuring this bird, then it is permissible. However, to keep any animal, bird, or the fishes, as Muslims, we should treat them well and feed them and do not be negligent about them. Otherwise, the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come.
Definitely, jazakallah. Alright, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum. When a woman is in haith, can she read Surah Yasin, etc. from the computer screen with no wudu?
Not permissible.
Not permissible at all, jazakallah. We go to the other SMS. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. A husband tells wife these words, you got one, you got two, and he meant talaq. But the reason is only to threaten her. Does talaq fall? If yes, how many talaqs fell, and what is this talaq called?
You got one, you got two.
You got one, you got two, gee.
He got two. He gave two.
Gee.
Now he got the two talaqs that he has given. His wife will have to sit in iddat. And if he wants to reconcile, then he should behave with her how a husband behaves with a wife. And then inshallah, they can come together without having to perform a fresh nikah, provided this is done within the iddat period. If the iddat period expires, then without halala, then they can come together by performing a fresh nikah.
Ameen. Jazakallah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala unite in complete harmony, muhabbat and happiness, inshallah. Ameen. And all husbands and wives. Mustafa, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum. Salams. After having a bath, can you make wudu in the bath in the nude state?
It is permissible.
Right, it is permissible.
Not necessary to do so, because the bath, after the bath, the wudu automatically has taken place. Because the bath is complete. Obviously, the wudu is inside the Islamic bath. When a person has made ghusl, and ghusl is not bath. Ghusl is Islamic method of bathing. So when a person has done the Islamic method of bathing, the wuzu is inside that. So it is not necessary to make a wuzu after a ghusl.
All right, Jazakallah, that answers the question. When must prisoner stealing stop on Friday? The question says, after the first or the second adhan.
We should understand something about these adhans. And this is the question that came last week also, that during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was only one azan. That azan that we see, which is given in the masjid in front of the khatib, that was the only azan during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Muslim population of Madinatul Munawwara expanded, then the Sahaba requested, and Hazrat Usman, who was the Khalif of the time, the Amirul Mu'mineen of the time, he instituted the second azan, which is actually now the first azan. So historically, chronologically speaking, the first azan is the second azan, and the second azan is the first azan. No one objected to Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala who instituting the second azan. So trading should stop according to all the ulama, that when you hear the first azan.
All right, Jazakallah, this topic going further. And the brother's second question is that, is it true that if you have three daughters, you are guaranteed Jannah?
Provided, the hadith concerning that is, provided you bring them up Islamically, give them good Islamic education, and then give them good manners, morals, train them in the Islamic ethics, and give them good education, Islamic education, and marry them off to good Muslim spouses.
All right, Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. The SMS says, is it permissible for women to wear bangles that make a noise during Salah?
Although the Salat will be valid, it is not good.
All right, Jazakallah. Is it permissible to give out invitations for one's wedding?
If it is not lavish, extravagant, wastage of money, but if it is by way of announcement, then it is permissible. By way of giving information, then it is permissible. It should not be for display, pomp, show, glory, and it should not be like what is happening, unfortunately, these days, that they put these invitations and they spend 20, 30 rand per invitation, and sometimes they put it on cassette. Now they put it on CD. Sooner or later, unfortunately, they may put it on video. So then that is not permissible.
Not permissible. JazakAllah. We go on further with the SMS. All right, Mahfadeh. We go on further with the SMS questions. If the lady's dress covers over her ankles, does she still have to wear a pants to make salah?
If she is completely covered, and it will definitely not expose any part of her body, then it is permissible.
All right. When teaching a new Muslim, is it permissible that person reads Subhanallah in place of surahs and tahmeed?
Can you say that again?
When teaching a new Muslim, is it permissible that person reads Subhanallah in place of surahs and tahmeed?
Yes, it is permissible.
It is permissible. JazakAllah for that.
When the person is being newly taught, then you can tell them to read Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, small, small kalimas, so that they do not get discouraged. And they say, no, the Salat is too difficult and we cannot perform the Salat, and then they begin to discard the Salat.
Gee, all right. I find it difficult, the question states, to sleep. Sometimes I read four quls, my du'as, etc. Why is this and what can I do? Difficult to sleep, Mufisab.
It is stated if the person reads the last ruku of Surah Kaf, the last ruku of Surah Kaf, then inshallah the person will be able to sleep and also get up for Fajr on time. Or if the person wants to read, he can read seven times Surah Alam Nashrah and then go to bed, inshallah the person will be able to sleep quickly. Or if a person is really having difficulty in sleeping, then a person should read the ayat which calls for durood, in Allahu Malaikatahu, that ayat, the complete ayat, and then read durood sharif. Read that ayat, and then durood sharif. Alhamdulillah, this is proven that the person will fall asleep.
All right. Mr. Jazakallah, we've gone further. Assalamu alaikum. Can Muftisa please expand further on why the Qunut Nazira must be read? The person says that the request was made by Mufti Sab via email last Friday. Jazakumullah.
Qunut Nazila is recited when we are in crisis. Historically speaking, when the previous government decided to demolish one of our masajids, that was crisis. The Muslims immediately decided to recite Qunut Nazila. And alhamdulillah, that government said, we're not going to destroy the masjid. Now, this is a crisis that the dignity of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been harmed. The status of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been injured. The position of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been jeered at. The personality, character of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been butchered and assassinated. And the dignity of Islam is put onto the altar. And we are still saying this is not a crisis. This is an international crisis. And if we do not take this seriously, and if we do not worry about this seriously, then what are we going to wait for? That these enemies of Islam, are they going to do something worse than this? Then we are going to say, read Kunut al-Nazila. And here, especially, that what actually is supposed to be done, we are not doing. This system of writing letters and protest and marches and boycotts and all these things, these are not, in fact, the real things that Muslims are supposed to be doing when the dignity of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been placed on the altar for crucifixion by the enemies of Islam. So this is definitely a crisis. So we appeal, this is my view, that this is such a big crisis that even now that the Arabs have even stated, and if you listen to the haram of the Imam of the in the last Friday khutbah, that he even is so upset about it, and rightfully so. And most of the prominent ulama of the international world are very, very upset, and rightfully so, about what these people are doing, and putting these cartoons, etc., and being adamant about it also. So good, one is the boycott, and all that is what is happening. But simultaneously, that the Kunut and Nazila, in my opinion, should be recited to send a signal clearly to these people that we mean business here.
Gee, Mr. Jazakallah for the wonderful advice. All right, we have quite a few SMSs. Mr. We have just already time up, but let us go through two or three SMSs. Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible to go for Hajj when you have a bond to pay in a car loan with the bank? If so, why? Jazakallah.
If you are confident enough that in your absence, that bond payment, I'm not saying this, that bond is jais, that bond payment and the car payment will go on, and you'll be able to maintain that meter installment ticking, then it is permissible to go.
All right. Is contraception permissible? The question states further, if yes, under what condition and what are its limitations?
Temporary birth control methods are permissible depending on circumstances like the health of the husband, health of the wife, and also for upbringing of the children and gapping of the children, etc. The question will be specific in nature. A reliable, pious, reliable mufti should be consulted before engaging in any temporary contraceptive methods.
All right. Rusab, the other question says, Mufti Maulana, when reading tasbih on fingertips, must I use just the right hand or can I use the left hand as well?
Use any, the right or the left, as long as you know how much you're counting.
All right, JazakAllah for that. And I think let's take the other SMS. It's still coming through, Murisab. We don't have time, unfortunately. Is a woman allowed to study Islamic studies abroad, which isn't available here? The mahram will drop her there, and she'll stay with only girls on the premises for a year, and he'll pick her up. That's all it says.
This is modern-day fitna.
Mm.
And this definitely is not conducive to the spirit and text of Islam. What Islam that is available there is not available here. What Islam that can be taught outside cannot be taught here. This is tomfoolery. This is unfortunately making excuse for the ladies to travel abroad and for the females to be left alone abroad. This is the age of fitna and fasad. They should not allow them to go abroad. What facilities are available here are adequate. And no use turning every female to great, great alimas. Unfortunately, we see what is happening around us. Then we should have basic Islamic education and teach them about domestic responsibility and upbringing of the children and creating a Islamic environment at home. That is the best thing.
All right, JazakAllah. Mr. We take the last two questions. The one states, eyebrows. Is it permissible to shave the eyebrows?
I think every time we get a new listener on Radio Islam, a female listener, then they pose this question. Maybe they think the Mufti will change the answer. The eyebrows, you cannot cut, you cannot trim that unless it is extremely, extremely bushy and out of control. Then there is some room for permissibility of snipping it to neaten it. But to cut it and trim it, That is not permissible.
Not permissible. Jazakallah. And yes, this is final, our last SMS question for the night. Assalamu alaikum. My husband gave me one talaq. My kids are suffering and missing their father. Is it advisable to try to reconcile because my ex-husband is extremely stubborn and swears a lot? His brother also referred to my race. How do I face his family if we reconcile? He seems scared of his daughter and family.
You should let the care line handle your problem. There's a lot of counseling for the husband and wife required here. However, our humble advice is reconcile.
All right, inshallah. Mustafa, Jazakallah for the wonderful program. It's already time up. And we say Jazakallah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant Mufti Sam the best of rewards in both dunya qadr and akhirat, inshallah. And we request for Mufti Sam's du'as as well.
Beautiful, inshallah. Uh-huh. And du'as from all the listeners. And we should make du'a that the dignity and honor of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is maintained.
All right, Mustafa, Jazakumullah. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.